Adam Pengilly joining us from the Sydney Morning Herald. And Adam, good morning to you, mate. How are you on morning, this Friday ahead of the grand final? How's the week been?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's probably the best sporting weekend of the year, doesn't it, Jared? I love this weekend. Just like the races on Saturday into all day, the build-up for the footy on Sunday. And we can sometimes have the AFL grand final on the same weekend, can't we? So I love this weekend. It's absolutely fantastic. By the way, I've just got a quick bone to pick with you, Jared and Loz. I was mucking around on the TV yesterday watching some Fox League, and then you, Tipaluka's come up on your segment, you know, tipping for the grand final. And then I noticed what you call the show. Have you noticed what you call the show?
The Daily Mail.
Oh my God.
The Daily Mail. Are you trolling, Clarky?
Do not remind me, buddy. Honestly, when I saw that, I was like,
have you seen it?
I was like, do these blokes have any idea how much stick I've copped from the Daily Mail? Yet they go and name their show.
I never even
awesome boys.
That.
Oh, and you know what? These two, they would have done it out of spite as well. Just to say, you know what? Clarky's going to see this suck shit.
Even kicking
that. Unbelievable, mate. See what I'm dealing with every day?
Yeah. Of all the names, Clarky, they could have used.
This is why they sit me in the middle as well, so they can stab me from both sides.
You want a cuddle?
Yeah.
Later.
Just not from you.
What did you make of our wonderful little show anyhow, by the way?
Good chat.
You have a good 5-minute snapshot of what you're thinking. And, you know,
Loz's
lock for the weekend. It's good. I like it.
I know.
What does that cost you for them to put that on?
We pay them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. What does it cost you? 100 grand?
Maybe
five episodes?
More. Maybe a bit more.
Now, of all the story, Brad Arthur, I loved what he said yesterday. He said he's had plenty of people wanting to give him advice, but feels like he's the best person to know what works for his group. He's not nervous, but excited about the opportunity. He says it's a massive opportunity. He just seems to be blocking all the external out. And you could only imagine that, as he says, the advice he's probably been given ahead of his first NRL Grand Final this week. But it would be some story if he could lead Parramatta to an upset win over the mighty Panthers on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what, Mino? I've been so impressed with the way Parramatta has just handled the whole week. I wasn't sure how they're going to handle it. They're coming back from Townsville on that game on Friday night, their first grand final in, 13 years, and trying to break the drought. But everything they've done this week, when I've been around fan days and training sessions and media conferences and Dally M's, they're just all taking it in their stride. I don't think that's sort of half the battle heading into a grand final. There seems to be no nerves or no real, you know, pressure that they're applying to themselves, apart from what's coming sort of from outside the club. So I think that's fantastic. I think they're right up for this game on Sunday. Whether they can match it with Penrith for an entire 80 minutes, I'm not too sure. But their mindset so far this week has been great, I thought. And Brad's obviously permeated that throughout the whole group. And you're right, Jared. What a story it would be for Brad Arthur. He's been under so much pressure in that job, in particular the last few years with bombing out in the second week of the finals. And he's been in that club for a long time now. But I tell you what, there'd be a lot of clubs who wish they had Brad Arthur as their head coach right now, wouldn't they?
Sure.
Given the success he's had with Parramatta over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And I really hope for his sake that Parramatta put up a fantastic performance on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think he goes into this grand final with a clear head. The more advice you get, the more confused you become. But he's got a simple formula that he believes in. And as long as the players believe in that, they can go out there and get the job done on Sunday. But I think it's going to be a wonderful contest. A lot of people I speak to, though, think it's going to be a blowout. I don't see a blowout coming.
I hope Para win. Like, I want it to be a really tight game, and I want to see the best out of Para, but I just fear it's going to be a bit like the AFL Grand Final.
I don't hope. I think it's going to be.
Okay. I
just think it's going to be tight, because I think Parramatta, there's something about this Parramatta team.
Mate,
you've said it all year, you know, two victories, but two victories mean nothing. I'll tell you what it does mean. It means you convince yourself.
Yeah.
And that's all you've got to convince is yourself. And if you believe,
well, confidence
doesn't matter.
Is everything, isn't
it? Doesn't matter what anyone else believes. If you believe,
you
can go out and get the job done. And for me, Parramatta think they can win.
Matt, awesome.
Yeah, I think it's got to be tight, Loz. It's going to be tight for at least 50 to 60 minutes. And you look at Penrith and their last two finals games, they've been slow out of the blocks, haven't they? They weren't exactly great against Parramatta in that first week of the finals. In the first half hour or 40 minutes, it was obviously only a 1-point ball game at half time against South. They were slow out of the blocks. They were down 12-0. So I think that's got to give Parramatta some confidence to say, okay, we can come out and firing in this game in the first 20 minutes and really take it up to Penrith. And I would imagine that this game is going to be extremely close at half time. I wouldn't even be afraid to back Parramatta in the half time, you know, head to head market, or even with a 4.5 start or something like that in the first half, because I think they'll be right in this game for the first 40 minutes. I still think Penrith will probably get the upper hand in the last 15 or 20 minutes, maybe similar to what we saw in that first week of the finals. But I think it'll be close for a long, long time in this game.
Adam, talk every single year about the time, the start time for the GF. Do you like it at night, or would you prefer it during the day?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question, isn't it, Clark? Yeah, I think, was it Matthew Johns was the latest one to come out this week saying we should go back to a daytime grand final? And I can completely understand where he's coming from a pure football point of view, because, Loz, I think you probably agree. You get a much better game of rugby league in a daytime than at nighttime, with your sort of dewy conditions sort of set in. It's going to be, well, we've had a week in Sydney, we've had a fair bit of rain around, so it's going to be slippery. If you play it during the daytime, potentially it could dry it a little bit more, but it's never going to happen, is it, boys?
Do they not play enough footy now, Loz, that at night? It's like, we see Cracker Origins, they're played at night. Like, do they not play? Like, I think it's different if you play the whole season during the day and then the grand finals night. I can understand that. But don't the boys are playing night games all the time throughout the year?
But it still can be a bit dewy, and then the handling's not as good. I think everyone, most people's preference would be a day grand final. I think I hate waiting around. As a player, I hate waiting around.
Yeah, okay.
At night, as a spectacle, it looks brilliant.
Better, yeah.
But during the day, I think you would get a better brand. But I understand your point. You're right. They do play a lot of night football.
I would love, I'm still old school, I would love afternoon.
Yeah, I'd prefer afternoon.
Like, imagine it was 2 o'clock kickoff.
The broadcasters
are never going to go back.
Look what happened with the AFL Grand Final.
We had a few years there where twilight. I think it was 5:15, the twilight. I like that as well. Yeah, I prefer that than 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I think the players would prefer to get it over and done with. It's a long day when you're waiting around. Yeah. You wake up early, the nerves are there, you know. You're just hanging around, and it just goes slow. The day goes slow.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, give us who wins, or give us a score, and a Clive Churchill medalist.
Yeah, I'm tipping Penrith Middo. I think there'll be, as I said, I think it'll be a very tight game for the first 50 to 60 minutes. I think Nathan Cleary's kick game will really come to the fore in the last 20 minutes or so. I'm tipping Penrith to win by sort of 12 to 14 points, so maybe around that 24-10 margin. I'm very keen on a couple of Penrith's left-side players being anytime try scorers. I think Kikau's going to have an enormous influence on this game on Sunday night. I'll be backing him to score anytime a try. Isaac Tungo, I think, another huge chance as well. What price is he, Jared? I saw it a little bit last night. He was sort of maybe 350 or something like that to score a try at any time. We know Penrith had a lot of success down that left-hand side last year with Matt Burton scoring the first try in the grand final. I think Tungo can get a try at some stage on Sunday night. And I know Nathan Cleary is extremely short for the Clive Churchill medal. He's a logical choice, but I wouldn't be afraid to back Kikau, Viliami Kikau, to win the Clive Churchill medal as well. But his form over the last 4 to 6 weeks has been absolutely superb. His last game for Penrith before he heads to the Bulldogs, he's going to have a massive influence on the result. And I'm backing him to win the Clive Churchill medal.
I'll tell you what, I hope Kikau plays well. Did you see the piece on Nine News last night?
Zach Bailey's piece.
Fantastic.
Really good. With his brother.
Yeah, with his brother. Awesome. You know, he was a player himself, and then got a disease, and now he's wheelchair bound, and you know the connection to that family, and you know the issues and the challenges that they've faced, and you just want to see people like that have 100%. Success.
What I will say as well, Loz, is what about Fiji for this grand final? With Kikau on one side and then Mike Esteva on the other side. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in Fiji this weekend?
Mate, they'll be around the television. I know that.
So good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So exciting.
And Siva hasn't seen his parents for 3 years. They're coming over. Yeah, great stuff. Just on those odds, by the way, Kikau's $21 to win the Clive Churchill medal. And to score a try, Isaac Tango's $3.10 with Tab, and Kikau's $2.90. So Adam's suggesting both of those, back them straight out, put them in your same game multis, whatever you fancy. Now let's go to racing, and let's get a best for Tab Epsom Day at Royal Randwick off you, mate.
Yeah, I'm seeing you off the Ali Murray team sheet as well, Jared. Race 7, number 2, Lost and Running, my best on the program in the Premier Stakes. I thought he was fantastic in the shorts, wide run up on speed. Second up, I'm thinking he's going to take natural improvement from a softish gait. I think he's going to really lay that down a marker heading towards the Everest in a couple of weeks' time. And my value bet on the program is race 3, number 6, Casino Kid. You guys know I've been tipping this horse a little bit, this preparation. And I know the form Global Reed's saying he only won a Dubbo Cup last start, but he had to qualify in that race to try and get ready for the big dance. Back to Sydney on rain effect of going against his toe into the ground. I think he's a huge show at close double-figure odds. So that's race 7, number 2, Lost and Running, the best. And race 3, number 6, Casino Kid, the best value on the program at Randwick there tomorrow.
And Tab's also got a market for the Prix de Royale, which is the Group 1 for fillies and mares over 2,800 metres at 10:33 Saturday night, which very elegant is the $3.60 favourite in. So hopefully she can brain the madam and then we can go... you idiots, to the French racing authorities.
Yeah, what a missed opportunity, Jared. The more I think about it, the more I think it's just crazy, isn't it? When your horse has won a Melbourne Cup and 11 Group 1s in Australia. I know the Ark's an extremely prestigious race and her form probably hasn't been as good in the last 6 months, but wow, what more do you have to do to make the race?
And we were talking about Shades of Rose yesterday in.
Yes.
Bjorn Baker has too. So how about it? Benchmark 72, 78, 88, Group 2 Scirocco, Everest.
Yeah, I don't mind the choice, Jared, to be honest, because I don't know what else I'm going to do. To tell you the truth, the options were thin on the ground, and she's a mare in form. Yep, it's a massive, massive jumping class, obviously, and whether she can run top four or five, I'm not too sure in an Everest. But you know what? She'll jump, she'll put herself there and give herself every chance. It doesn't matter whether she's going to be classy enough in the last furlong. So, yep, she's into the race. Bonho's had to go for his backup option, and a couple of slots to fill, Jared.
$26 chance with Tab is Shades of Rose in the Tab Everest as well. Mate, you have a great weekend.
See you, boys. Enjoy the green final weekend.